The following was at the Frying Pan Meeting, the second Sunday in March, 1974.
May the Lord bless you and bless you. My righteous, almighty, ever-living, sovereign God, and thy loving kindness, thou hast enabled a little handful of thy believing people to be gathered together one more time to share your prayers want to be made. As you know our hearts, we desire to worship thee, to praise, to adore, and to exalt thy great and holy name. But realizing that thou hast given us grace to realize that we are dependent upon thy grace and thy mercy for everything, all the time. We know that as we have learned and as we express to God, I pray that worship be a God that must worship be in spirit and in truth. And while we have exerted our efforts sometimes trying to worship thee, and we've always failed, but when we sometimes in such stand to fall off and wonder whether thou hadst forgotten us or not. And sometimes it is without a surprise us in some wonderful way by making manifest thy presence and stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance the promises that thou hast made unto us, and somehow strengthening our hope, causing us to look away from self and self-dependence, and to realize that all of our strength must come from thee. To realize, O Lord, in those times that it is not in ourselves to direct our footsteps. And to realize that whatever our death is, however terrible sometimes it may seem to us, that when we have that feeling to realize that thou art our God and merciful and long-suffering, promise not to forget us nor leave us, then, O Lord, we have been made willing to endure anything and everything that thou hast sent us. And we come this morning, Father, realizing that we're dependent upon thy grace and thy mercy and thy purpose, thy eternal willing purpose. Well, it is our will that we should be blessed with the Spirit of our God to worship thee as our worship. Or whether we shall be set up and see as we realize what poor and helpless worms of the best we are. Lord, enable us to stand still. It isn't often, and perhaps we should realize so well we never can stand still with ourselves. But whenever we've been blessed to stand still in the midst of our sorrows and our doubts and fears and our tremblings, we've always been enabled to see thy salvation. We've always been enabled to see that we cannot command the Spirit of our God, but that we must wait as we're given grace to wait upon the pulling out of thy Spirit, whenever it is thy will to so pull it out in our pure heart. We realize, O Lord, that thou knowest all about each one of us. In fact, to know that thou knowest more about each one of us than we know about ourselves. And thou knowest what poor sinners we are, and that we are dependent entirely upon grace and mercy for everything we have, everything that we are. And sometimes we can say that thy servant of old, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And, O Lord, we realize that thou hast declared the end from the beginning. All thy works are known to thee from the beginning, and we will not undertake. So, realizing that we do it, we're impossible. But we will not undertake to try to change thy will and thy purpose. Heavenly Father, to pray that thy will be done, and if it is thy will, that thou would give us grace, that we may be reconciled to whatever thy will and purpose is concerning each one of us, each and every day of that we live and this world. And that we may be reconciled to whatever thy will and purpose is concerning each one of us, each and every day that we live in this world. So I was satisfied enough, and I thought we made it well in a good place. And I always made it some more on account of our impoverished condition and our unworthiness. So that we go about our times, as I know us, with our heads hung low, wondering, and sometimes doubting, fearing, trembling. It's always forgotten to be grateful. Sometimes we're afraid, O Lord, that with those exercises of our hearts and those paths which were so wonderful and so glorious to us at that time, when it seemed that we were lifted to the body, flesh, mortality, and isn't able to behold those through the best after some of those wonderful and glorious things which I have provided for thy people through thy mercy and thy grace in the giving of thy dear Son, sending him here in the world for the purpose of redeeming all thy children, all thy people from all their sins, and to give them grace while they live, which should be sufficient according to thy will for them, and then to bring them safely into that eternal heaven and home which I have provided for them through the redemption that is in our blessed redeemer. And Lord, O Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast provided for us. It's our compound to realize that everything we've ever had, thou hast given us in. And we realize that we cannot produce of ourselves the things that are necessary to sustain these our mortal lives. But we are depending upon thy willing pleasure, Father, to give us seasons and with the food that we need to flourish and grow, and seasons in which thou art pleased to send forth thy spirit into our hearts, enabling us to walk softly before thee and before our garden and before the world, enabling us to look not to our flesh as if we to direct our steps, but humbly coming before the throne of God, mindful that we have but the one mediator which God himself has provided for his people, one mediator between them and their God. And it is in this mediator's name and in his righteousness, Father, that we would come this morning. We did not try to tell you what thou wantest to do, but rather come confessing that thou doest all things right and pray thee according to thy will, that thou would yet look upon us, for we are weak, poor, unworthy, and yet we're needy creatures dependent upon the God of heaven, for in him is all of our strength and all of our hope. O Lord, as thou hast led us in days past, wilt thou continue to go with us, look before us? Thou art by thy unerring, spirit in keeping us in the way which thou wouldst have us to go. O Lord, thou knowest our hopes sometimes get worse, and yet we talk about a little hope, and yet, O Lord, we realize that we have a hope, that there's a hope, and that would be sufficient. But oh, how we long to have the manifestation of thy goodness and thy mercy and thy presence, that we might worship thee, that our hope may seem brighter, that we might have an assurance that these things which thou hast given us, and we are not been mistaken when we exercise with our hearts and thus days of the past. O Lord, we pray that you bless thy people wherever they may be, because thou art the only one who can bless and provide. Everywhere thy people are, which gather throughout the whole world, Lord, a very present help unto them. And these troublesome times, Father, which thou enable us to stand still, to know that thou art ruling and overruling all the nations of the earth, and in our government here, though we cannot understand the reason why, and that we know that nothing is hidden from thee. As thou wilt do thy will and pleasure, as thou hast done thy will and pleasure, so that the end of all these things, Father, we realize to be all of them to the praise of the glory of thy grace. That thy people may see thy breathings of our hands from day to day, and that we, knowing that we're creatures of the day, as it were, to live here in this world, and yet thou dost give us space in which we are enabled to look beyond these great greater things and appearances of us, and realize that thou hast working thy will on that Sunday, and all the things of our purpose has taken place and come to pass in this time here, then thou wilt come again, and thy people shall be conformed in the resurrection to the glorified body of Jesus prepared and fitted for heaven. These things sometimes the Lord on earth to long for. But oh, Father, here, give us grace that we may endure. Give us grace to walk softly. Give us grace to trust in thee. Give us faith, O Lord, of which thou art both the author and the finisher, that we may look to thee in our dark hours, when we are made to realize we cannot direct our own footsteps, or even our thoughts. Father, remember the sick and afflicted, give all of us grace, and be with us while we live, and then save us at last. We pray to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm still having trouble with my glasses. I'm using an old pair that I had probably some years ago, but I had to wait until the optometrist could get mine repaired and fixed, and they hadn't come in. He's had them now well over 2 weeks, but he had to send them off for some reason, and I am stumbling along, reading the best I can, while realizing that I do not see very clearly. First of all, I want to say that I am glad to report to you, some of you heard it, I'm sure, Earl Thompson has been back home this morning. I don't know just how long he may be at home, but Mr. Thompson called and said that they would bring him home this morning. We hope that he is ready and free, but we also know that he, as well as each one of us, is in the hands of our God, and God's will is done. And these things we realize how helpless we are, and how dependent we are upon the grace and the mercy of our God. I hope and feel that the prayers of the brethren who have known her for years, and how devoted he was, and still is, as he will be with us to try and find meeting out. All the evidence that we have is that he is high. He is a believer to God. And we feel that he, I read him last week, they feel that he went out. So he's coming home, only the Lord knows for how long, but I guess what the outcome will be. I feel it's kind of fall off this morning. My mind is exercised, but not very much. And I had to remark as we drove on that I become more fearful all the time, because I cannot think. I would think, I would read, I would understand, but most of the time I read and I do not know exactly what I'm reading. Well, that is all right, because I know that the will of the Father is done. The two things that I, to some degree, I thought about this morning. One is how little that the Spirit of God working in the hearts of His people causes God's people to see you, how little they see you, and how unworthy they see you, and how they realize that it is the grace of God and the grace of God alone that speaks in the heart and gives us any comfort or hope, whatever. I was wondering sometimes when the writer wrote to her an amazing grace. Surely the grace of God to him and to us, when God has sent forth His Spirit into our hearts and we know and feel His grace has been extended to us. Isn't it amazing? In order to extend the grace to us, in order to make Himself manifest in our hearts, the only way I know how to express it is that God comes to descend from His high and lofty habitation and comes down in the person of His Spirit and speaks in the hearts of those who have sinned against Him, who have in effect turned their backs upon Him and have not regarded Him as their God, or even to have known the sovereignty of our God. But God knows what His people need, what they need. And not only knows what they need, but He's prepared that which they need for them even before the world began. He tells them, first of all, should I say, He chose every one of His people in His Son before the world began, before He had created the heavens and the earth. They were chosen, and in the eternal will and the purpose of God, they were all, in a wonderful sense, named. Not, I don't understand, we have my name or your name individually, but somehow their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And did we but know, my brethren, and sometimes we feel that these things are so wonderful, so plain, some once in a while we feel that we realize that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when we are made to feel that, we know that it is still grace, grace and mercy alone, that is written from God, and written before the world began. And so that we believe and that we are made to know, and God gives us faith to believe and to know and be assured that our God is a sovereign God, that He works His will. There's never to measure, has to confess, to work His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And we may sometimes glad, my brethren, that in spite of all the things that found us, they try to point out to, in their way to prove that many things that are written in the scriptures by Moses and all the other writers that couldn't possibly be true. But by faith, of which Jesus is the author and finisher, every one of those who's come under the leading hand of the teaching Spirit of our God, we're not dependent upon what men say about the matter. We are dependent entirely upon that revelation that the Spirit of God has made and does continue to make from time to time of God's sovereignty, and makes us to believe fully that by faith we believe just what Moses wrote and just what the prophets wrote. Oh, that as I have said a thousand times, I suppose, in my standing before the brethren, we believe and we know for a fact that God was the creator of the heavens and the earth, and not some just some of the scientists would have us to believe, and Darwin and other scientists would have us to believe that it's just some little something we bog and things gradually grew until the things are as they are now. And I want to tell you, my brethren, that didn't do that. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth before Messiah. And then when we go a little bit farther on, that he created everything it is. Everything. Man did not evolve from some lower order of animal. God made man before man to dust the earth. He made all the animals of the earth. And God made man out of dust of the ground, breathed into his mouth, there's a breath of life, and man became a living soul. Everybody who has come under the teaching of the Spirit of our God believes that. They do not believe anything that any mortal man can say that is contrary to those things which the Spirit of God has revealed unto the church and to his people over the years, though they may have been 2,000 or 10,000 years ago. Our God is a sovereign God. And he is the one, my brother, that started the, shall I say, in my way of speaking of it, he's the one that started the ball rolling. He's the one that has fixed everything. So that as time rolls on, each and every day, each and every circumstance, each and every occasion, that's that eternal will and the purpose of our God has been made manifest. From day to day, from hour to hour, from moment to moment, this is our God. But the most wonderful thing of God is, my brethren, when he gives us to believe, gives us faith, to be assured that these things are so, and then causes us by that same Spirit to realize how unworthy we are. To realize that we can't of ourselves, we're in burden for causes and sin. We can't reach up as if we could reach into heaven and bring God's eternal purpose to God to us, or even bring God down to us. And then realize that we're not fit. And I hope every one of you, my friends and brethren, have felt many times over that you're not fit so far as your flesh and your carnality is concerned. You're not fit that God should look upon you and have any pity at all upon you. Because you know, under the teaching, the guiding of the Spirit, that we have broken every commandment that God ever gave. And so, in the way that God leads his people, bringing them out to that through darkness that they're in, being dead and trespassing in his sins, to bring them out, they realize that. And the scripture that came into my mind this morning, I should like to read it in a moment. Maybe I better read it now, but Paul said here in Matthew, the 15th chapter, Matthew, it said, then Jesus went, sent, and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman that came and came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after him. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And came to and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, speak, Lord. Let the dogs eat as the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The disciples on this occasion did not understand, of course, the wonderful and glorious matter that should be revealed here. Even unto them. When this poor woman of Canaan, evidently she was a Gentile, as far as I can tell, she was a Gentile, And the Lord made it plain, where he said, I am not come but unto the last sheep, the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I believe that's the cry, that's the petition, that's the prayer of every one of the Lord's people many, many times over while they live in this world. The Lord brings your spirit, awakens your spirit to the end of our own state of time. For the very purpose and for the very reason, it seems to me, we should not become confident in our flesh, even after the Lord has given us a hope. Because, my brethren, somehow or the other, we cannot cling to that hope ourselves. Your dependence is upon the Spirit of God manifesting the hope given the Spirit. And Jesus answered her when she said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to God. That was a very pointed statement, wasn't it? But he spoke something that woman knew. She had already been taught that she was, as some have called it, the offspring of the earth. The dogs, you know, Israel didn't have anything to do with dogs, they despised them. And here Jesus said to this poor woman coming there begging for help, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to God. But in spite of all of that, he was given faith to say this, truth, Lord. I know it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast the dog. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat to the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Have you ever felt, my brethren, friends, to be but a dog and unworthy of the grace of God? And yet God had exactly the very thing which you long for and the only thing which could satisfy you. And that was the crumbs that the dog licked up from the floor. Have you not seen sometimes when the dog would be in the dining room while you were eating? Have you not seen him sit there and begging, you might say, for food? And if a crumb fell, they did not want, they didn't care what he'd do to kill them off the table and not from the floor. And I'll tell you, my brethren, when we are brought so low and so unworthy of his feelings, just so the Father of Heaven would drop some promises. What is the word? Handful of touches. Yes, that's what I want to say. If God is pleased to drop in those times when we are given to long for his mercy, long to be confirmed in our hope, if he does fall as did that beautiful charity in Ruth, that he that falls some handful of touches to correct. That's what this woman wanted. She realized that she wasn't worthy of the grace of God or the notice of Jesus. And yet that very thing that she needed was implanted in our hearts. The necessity, the need of it was there. And she, like those who did not turn away from many disciples of Jesus and went after other things. And the Lord said, if thou goest away also to his disciples there. And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no other, nobody, nowhere, nothing else that could satisfy this woman who, where she could have been insulted. And when Jesus said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. If she had not been a subject of grace, my brethren, she would have been insulted or been called a dog. But she had already been made by the Spirit of God to realize that she was a dog and offspring of the earth, and unfit for the notice of Jesus. And yet she said, yet the dog eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus actually said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that time, that very hour. This is, in some wonderful, beautiful way, I feel the experience of every child of God. Not just exactly that way, of course, but the end result of all the teaching the Spirit of God is that we are dogs and unworthy of the grace of our God. And yet, we know that nothing satisfies this hunger, this longing, save the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then I remember how, upon the other hand, how little every prophet felt, how little Moses felt, how little every one of those that God blessed throughout the Old Testament, and commanded them to cry aloud and to stand up, commanded them to speak and to declare, and diminish not a word, all the things that God had declared had determined for these prophets to prophesy. So that, my brethren, everything that is in the scriptures, everything that God gave holy men of old to write, all the doctrine of God our Savior from the very beginning to the coming of John the Baptist into the world, and announcing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and all the doctrine that John preached and declared that he was not the Christ, he was not the Messiah, that there came one after him, there coming one after him. Well, that's the priest chief. He wasn't ready to sit down and unleash. He said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And what I'm trying to say is, my brethren, the things that Jesus preached, the things that Jesus declared, was the doctrine of God our Savior, the things that Jesus taught his apostles and commanded them to contend earnestly. One of the writers said, I beseech thee to take content on the stick of the faith that he once delivered to the saints. These things are the only things that the child of God, the real servant of God, the real minister, if I may call it that, the real elder among the people of God, these are the only things that are commanded to preach. And whenever they turn aside from preaching the very same things, even to the use of sound words, hold fast upon the sound words and the sound doctrine, whenever we just cast a little bit aside from these things that are written here in the scriptures, because they seem a little bit harsh, my brethren, just that far we're getting away from the things that Jesus taught. And I think that when Jesus was so humble, yes, he made himself in no reputation, though he was had ever been with the Father, and the Father had in his eternal wisdom prepared a body for him. Well, he said, the old prophet said, a body has not prepared me. And we see how that God had prepared the body and he came through the Virgin Mary. And the doctrine that he preached and the business that he was about, he said, what you know that I must be about my Father's business? These things my brethren, that he taught, that he came here to do the best will of the Father. He did not come here just to do something to please him. No, if he had wanted to please men, if it had been his will or the Father's will, he should have pleased men, he would have gone to the household of the king. He would have solicited the support of Caesar. Not that, he went out to the seashore. He went out to these, sometimes they said to the message, they were fishermen, men who were unlearned, men who had never gone to school, did not know anything at all. These were the ones that God said, follow me. And he taught them through the Spirit things that all the schools and men could never teach them. That's the way our God works these things, brethren. And those are the things that we must see. Now, when he said, as I said a thousand times, perhaps in your presence, that the Jews said that he was talking about the common salvation, add to the burden, writing to them about the common salvation, that is the salvation and the doctrine, what that 40 million, the doctrine, that is common between the brethren living here and there, other place, the same identical doctrine, the same identical truth, but he admonished them to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For he knew, and is already there, that I should come and had already begun to come in, teaching the commandments and doctrine of men. In these days, my brethren, in everything in the world, it seems to me is being preached solid the doctrine of God our Savior in the world. Those who have been given grace of God to know that salvation is only by the grace of God and God works His will. It is incumbent, it is becoming of us as God gives us grace, my brethren, to contend earnestly for these things, to hew to the line that the chips are red and eggs. If it steps on somebody's toes, yes, we could just cite him to the scriptures and say that's what the scripture says. Sometimes we, brethren, would be brought up to the door as the apostle was brought up there before the governors and they commanded them to teach no more in this name. They answered, why is in my language now? Isn't it better for us to teach the things of God, to follow God? I wish I could quote it, but I can't. The things about God rather than things that you command us. In other words, you just go ahead and you will. If you want to command us all you want to, we will follow after the things that God has taught us. By the grace of God, my brethren, I would stand before my brethren wherever I am and under all circumstances and preach the salvation is by the grace of God and that by the grace of God only. And it is unto everyone that God chose before the foundation of the world that they should behold him without blame before him in life. I'm not standing up here and in the place I've never had, thank God. I never stood up and said that Jesus came here and died for the sins of the whole world. Now he wants everybody to believe him, accept it. I don't believe that. Because I know, my brethren, that it is not a man that is dead and steadfastly in sins can believe or can accept in this, in that sense. Can accept the truth as given by Jesus. Now, Jesus made it plain, you know, to Peter and to the other brethren. A place in Bethlehem was given to the faith. Paul said, you know, neither was he taught as a man, but by revelation. And that's the same thing. It hasn't changed from that day to this. It never will change. It's salvation in the days that Jesus was here was by the grace of God. By grace, he says, through faith in that man, he tells us the gift of God. That the modern Christianity, so-called Christianity belief, that it isn't just that way. Well, we know that the scriptures talk about those things, but it doesn't mean that. We know that Jesus Christ didn't come here just to give salvation to those that the Father, you people believe, and many people believe, but just give salvation out of being those that the Father gave him before the world began. No, he wouldn't be a just God to do that. But my brethren, I want to tell you that I would be ashamed to stand and to plainly deny what the scripture says. When it says there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Shall I say that that says that all right, but it also means that we have to do something to earn it. We have to do something to let the Lord know we want it, or some such foolish thing as that. I tell you, my brethren, God knows all about every one of his people, even when they're dead and suffices that in sin. And his eternal will and the purpose have already included and the time and the place and the circumstances under which he will stand his spirit in the heart of every one of those that he loves and chosen in Christ Jesus and caused them to be born to the Spirit of God. And he teaches them the truth, and from that time on, they won't have anything else but the truth. Just can't have it. I hear a lot of things on the television, radio, and talking men talking, you know, that I believe this and I believe that. Yes. And yet, the things, most of them, 99% of them, shall I say, are compared to the scriptures, and yet they will say, and that's what I believe. I know we were getting some nice homes for some people, a lady, my husband, one time many years ago now. And she got there, very well acquainted. And we were going to talk to somebody. She got a profession of some religion. And I listened, and we talked a little. People said, "I believe in reincarnation." I said, "You do?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, you don't find that scripture." "Oh, no, I don't. But I believe it." "And my brother, I don't believe that there's a thing in the world that is the product of the dead men's mind, however good it may seem to them. I don't believe that those things that are contrary or against the spirit of the teaching of the Spirit of God, those things can't be proved. If I go through faith, through faith, and that might be something to get to God, it can't be any other way. Well, you may strive, and you may, in the darkness of your mind, you may say, well, I'm going to do the very best I can. You may be very careful in every word you can speak, and every footstep that you make. You may be very careful in those things from a natural standpoint, and you may never, as you say to yourself, I don't have an evil thought, someone who said, I don't sin anymore. Those who say they don't sin anymore lies, whether they realize it, whether they want to admit it or not. I'm telling you, my brother, my friend, that there's no soundness, there's no holiness, there's nothing good in the flesh of men. Only those things which God imparts when He brings them to the new birth and gives them the hope of eternal life. And I tell you, He teaches every one of them these truths, nothing but the truth. And that's the reason you, my friend, brother, when you hear somebody talking about they're going to do great things for the Lord, and you will do, you're tempted to do, so many times you'll reach up and turn it off. The question isn't what I'm going to do for the Lord, but the great question is, what has the Lord done for me? Now we see that even the Lord's people become exalted. You do, I do, we all do, become exalted. Sometimes we make resolutions we're going to do this, that, and the other, and I don't think I've ever carried out a single one of them yet. But I tried it. Peter, you know, he resolved, and he told Christ that he'd go with him even unto death. And I don't believe that Peter had any question about what he would do that. He loved the Lord, you see, of course, that he would go with him even unto death. But the Lord knew all about Peter. He knows about every one of us. He knew about Peter, and he told him. Peter didn't understand it. Satan had desired him to 50th week, but I prayed for him. Ah, Peter was too strong. He was going to go, and he would fight for Jesus. They should not put him to death. He had not been taught yet that Jesus came. God sent his son here to die, to redeem his people when they sinned. He hadn't learned that yet. But he had to learn how weak he was. And then God said to him, or Jesus said to him, and I converted strength in my bed. And I converted. Yes, he was strong in his flesh at that time, but there had to be some things take place with him to show him how weak he was in the flesh. And when the time came, you remember, and one of them said, he's one of them, you're one of his disciples, he denied it, and he denied it three times. I think he says one time he personally swore, I didn't know now. And just as he did that, the cock crew, and Jesus looked at him, and he was converted to him. Yes. And he wept bitterly. Then how about that Pharisee and the publican that went up to the temple to pray? Pharisee was a man who had never tasted the goodness of God. He was a self-righteous man who even thought of Christ his wife with fun in his every day. He went up to the temple to pray. He went up to the temple to tell God what a good fellow he was, and what all he'd been doing, what all he intended to do. That he had his friend and buddy there, that was on the other side of him, somewhere over there. He wasn't standing there with his face lifted up to heaven and his hands to heaven, and telling the God of heaven all these things. Because he had been convinced, my brother, he had been taught that the Spirit of God had in him, that is, in his flesh, had dwelt in a good thing. Apparently, that's what it was. And he was like this one here, Lord, help. True, Lord. Then she turned away to him, saying, Lord, help me. And I saw Covington smiting upon his back, saying, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And so I will see, brothers and sisters, that we are not in tomorrow's crisis concern. We are not in, we can't do anything, but if we are alive people, and if we are alive people, he makes us to know. I found peculiar, wonderful, powerful, working the Spirit in our hearts. And we know that something has taken place, it's not just work. We know that something's taken place, and we're given the hope of eternal life. And this is the way God leads his people. This is the way God brings his people out of darkness. This is the way that God manifests to each and every subject of grace, that they are his people, and that they are nothing and unworthy of even the notice of God, but he gives them grace which is sufficient for them. And my brethren, they need that grace every day, every hour, and every moment that they live in this world. They never get self-sufficient for more than a moment or two or a little bit at a time. And somehow the clock will just not stop to remember us. When we begin to think, what am I? Let behold what I am. And it knocks out from us, and we have to do exactly what this poor woman did. Lord, help me. And God be with you.